Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And when he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had made, verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work, which God created and made. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man, took Adam, and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. My title for this message is one word and four letters, work. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, work. You may be seated. Work has become the ultimate four-letter word in our culture. Nobody wants to work. We have created a generation that is the most creative generation that has ever lived. It is amazing to me if you give an iPad to a six-year-old without any sort of training, how much they will know in a matter of hours, days, or weeks. How many of you have a child or teenager in your house that when your phone goes wrong, you just hand it to them? Fix it. Tell me what I need to do. But the problem with creativity is creativity is a gift from God. And the gift that is creativity sometimes slows the progress, and it creates in people, it creates in culture, a lack of work ethic. Creativity is God-given. Work ethic, however, is taught. Work is something that you either will do or you won't. I grew up in a home where work ethic was taught. It was not something that we got to choose. Tomorrow is Labor Day. Isn't it ironic that on the day that we celebrate work, we don't work? Some of us, a lot of you lifted your hands, but we'll sit around and we will watch a college football game. There's one or two on tomorrow. We'll barbecue. Perhaps we'll just sleep. Perhaps we'll catch up on hobbies or binge watch some show or whatever we do. But here it is Labor Day and we will not work. That's not how it was growing up at our house. I remember Labor Day was one of the first days off after a couple weeks of school, and Sean and I would be ready to sleep in and ready to sleep till noon, and you know how that goes. You sleep so late that you don't remember what day it is when you wake up. You look at the clock, and it says 7 o'clock, and you don't know if that's a.m. or p.m. But Bishop would come into our room, and he would bang on my door and say, it's time to go to work. But, Dad, it's Labor Day. And he says, get up. That means we work twice as hard. Get up, we'd go out to the barn, we'd go haul hay, we'd do all sorts of things. Most people that you know complain about one or two things. They complain that they don't have a job, or they complain about the job that they have. It's one or the other with most people. I can't find work. Nobody wants to hire me. And then if they have a job, I don't like my boss. I don't like this kind of work. I want to do something that I love. I want to follow my passion. And so we're complaining about work at a level that is very concerning moving forward. This is what God says about work. He says some pretty definitive things about this word called work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 and 11 says this. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if you don't work, you don't eat. So the first thing he deals with is those people that won't work. He says, if you are not willing to put in the time, you are not going to be able to enjoy the promise. See, there's a preparation to every promise. And this room is filled with some of the hardest working people I know. That we put in 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week at a job that you might not love, but you do so because you are providing for your families, because you are being productive, and because you have tapped into this principle that God is watching me work, and if I work, I get to eat the fruit thereof. I get to eat. Verse 11, he goes on to say this. For we hear that there are some which walk among you that are disorderly. People that don't work live in chaos. People that don't find their hands something to do live in chaos. They live in disorder. They live in dysfunction. And whether we are talking about a 9-to-5 job or whether we are talking about working in kingdom, working towards ministry, we all must have something to do because idle hands are the devil's playground. There's a lot of people sitting in jail today that got in trouble because they did not keep themselves busy enough. You've got to get to the place that you are so busy about the things of God, that you are so busy when it comes to the Father's business, that you don't have any extra time to get involved in the drama and the foolishness and the craziness of this life. Somebody say yes. Verse 11, he says, for we hear that there are some of you which walk among you disorderly or working not at all, but you are busybodies. Anybody know a busybody? They appear to be working, but they're not really accomplishing anything. You can never mistake movement for progress. And there's a lot of us that are cannonballing into it, and we are making big splashes and big ripples. But when the rubber meets the road, there is no fruit because we have really not worked. We've just made a lot of movement, and we've got everybody fooled on Instagram and Facebook that we're really busy, and we're not working. Busyness and working are not the same thing. I remember when I was just a kid, we lived off of Walsham Road, and Bishop was driving. He exited off of I-35 there, 410 there, onto Walsham Road. And there at the Walsham and Frontage Road intersection, there was a panhandle, and he held up a sign that said, "We'll work for food." And the problem with this man was, is he was well over 300 pounds. And so I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I just turned over to Dad, and I said, "Dad, that guy must work a lot." You'll get it later on today. There's a lot of us that are busy, but we're not working. Because working leads to production. Production, the fruit of life. Can I encourage you to take inventory of your life this morning, church? Let's make sure that what our hands are finding to do is the will of God. Let's make sure that we're working the job that God has called us to work. Let's make sure that we're not just making a lot of big movements and trying to trick or trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes. This is also what God says about work in 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Infidel means an unbeliever, someone with no faith. He says somebody who does not work does not have faith, because when you work, it is an example of an action saying, when I work, I'm going to produce this and I'm going to get this. Nobody volunteers at their job. You work 40 hours a week, and every Friday or every other Friday, you expect a paycheck in return. Meaning this, when you show up tomorrow or Tuesday at your job, you might work 8 or 10 hours. You might not get paid that day, but guess what you're looking forward to is your next payday. And so when we work, it is faith in action that there is something coming to us. God has created us to work. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. A landowner gave 1 5, gave 1 2, gave 1 1, and he left and he came back. And he was very, very wroth. He was very disappointed in the one that he gave 1 talent to that hid it, because God said, what I've given you was never meant to be enough. What I placed in your hands is always meant to be seed that you are to work and make more than enough. Can I talk to somebody today? When you look at what God has handed you and you say, God, this isn't enough for me to do what you've called me to do, God says you are exactly right, because what I placed in your hand is not the harvest, it's the seed. And if you'll work the seed will turn into a harvest. What happens when you ask God for an apple pie and he gives you an apple seed? What happens when God calls you to listen? When God calls you to something great and then he hands you something little, calls us to work. Turn to your neighbor and say, work, work, work. Don't say it like Rihanna. I don't think that's what she means. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go back. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had made. That's work a second time. And God blessed, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that is in it he had rested from all of his work, which God created and made. Here's something that you've got to understand. Even God works. He's the creator of the universe. He doesn't have to work, but God works. And I'm not talking about that God works in mysterious ways. I'm talking about God works how he has called us to work. And when God works, God is working in faith. Because not only in the 6 days of creation did he use his mouth in faith, but God got his hands dirty when he created you and he created me. And so if I've got a God that works through his faith in his voice and through physical work with his hands, and I am and you are to be an imitator of God, then we've got to wake up saying, God, I'm going to work my faith and I'm going to work with my hands. And God, I'm going to produce something spiritual that's great. And God, I'm going to produce something physical that's great. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said, Jesus said to them, how is it that you sought after me? Wist you know that I would be about my Father's business? Jesus also said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night is coming, and no one will be able to work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When Jesus said this, Jesus said, the whole reason I was put on the earth was to work. To work not what I want to do, but to work my Father's plan who has sent me. Going back to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, God worked so hard in the first 6 creation days that he rested on the seventh. Tomorrow we rest, unless you're working. Then you're going to work and you'll rest your next day off. Tomorrow is Labor Day. We've had Labor Day for almost 140 years here in the United States. In the late 1800s, we started having Labor Day, and it was created by the union workers who said, we work so hard and we deserve a day of rest. Can I encourage you, when you work hard, you will enter into the rest. But many people get rest and work out of order. We are taught from an early age that we need our rest. If you have little children, you put them to bed early, getting ready for school, and you said this, we've got to get our rest because we have a big day tomorrow. So we rest to work. That's not how God planned it. We are supposed to work to enter into rest. You'll get it here in just a minute. Rest does not come before work. Rest comes after work. Laziness is when we rest before we work. And we are raising up a generation that is in rest mode, and they never step into work mode. When I rest after I've worked a hard day, not before I work a hard day. Because if you rest for no apparent reason, it's going to be hard to break the cycle of laziness and being comfortable and being complacent to step in and say, God, I don't mind working hard. God, I don't mind sweating. God, sometimes I don't even mind bleeding if it's going to bring me to the place that you've called me to be at, or produce the promise that you've called me to have. In my mind, back in my office, I knew you weren't going to shout me down about work. Because we like to say favor ain't fair. And that God just shows up. No, favor is very fair. The Bible says that God rewards the diligent. When you get up, I applaud those of you that get up at 4:30, 5 a.m. and you go work a double shift so that you can put food on your table. I applaud all the teachers who've been working tirelessly and around the clock to make sure that your classroom and make sure the environment is prepared for our children to learn. My heart goes out to those of you that are working harder than you should. But I'm here to tell you, you are about to enter a place of rest, when you have proven to God, God, I don't mind working hard. God, I don't mind breaking a sweat. God, I don't mind going above and beyond and further than anybody else will. Because when you work hard, you are going to get to rest hard. When you work hard, when I talk about rest, I'm talking about the promised land that God has placed in front of you. Until you work the word, until you work your faith, I don't know if you'll ever step into. I don't know if we'll step into. See, too many of us are resting, and we confuse waiting on the Lord with resting in the Lord. Waiting is not twiddling your thumbs, saying, I thought God would have shown up by now. I go to church on Sunday. That's the problem. You go to church on Sunday. You don't serve at church on Sunday. The problem is we drop a couple bucks in the offering plate and we think now we can sit back and we're waiting on the Lord and we're resting in the Lord. No, you rest in the Lord when you've worked in the Lord. And you cannot rest until you've worked. And a lot of us are resting to work when we work to rest. People say, I need sleep. No, you don't. Sleep is a weakness of the body. Going into a comatose, semi-conscious state because your physical body cannot handle life anymore, and so you have to grab sleep. And I'm always appalled that doctors, and if you're a doctor, I love you, I appreciate all of your science and the backing up of this. I'm always appalled when the doctor says, Brandon, you need to get more sleep. You need to be getting 8 hours of sleep a day. You want me to sleep one-third of my life away? People say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I won't. Rest in peace. Resting is not sleeping. And see, you've got to understand, if you're sleeping 8 hours a day, there's somebody out there that's working harder than you. I've been privileged to be in the presence of 3 billionaires, and those 3 billionaires, it is a science with these massively successful people that they sleep 2 to 3 hours a day, and they might catch a cat nap here and there. Listen, I've got way too much in front of me to be resting, waiting on God to show up. God, I'm going to work. God, I'm going to put my hand to the plow. God, you show me a place to serve. God, you show me a place to stand and fight. God, you show me what you want me to do. And I will do that until you show up. I work to rest. My grandfather told me one thing. It's the thing that I remember the most of what he ever told me. And you might not agree with this, but I live it and I agree with it. He said, Brandon, if people have trouble sleeping, it's one of two reasons. They didn't work hard enough or they ain't living right. You can ask Pastor Mandy, she'll attest to this. When I lay my head down on that pillow, you got about 15 seconds before I'm sawing logs. And I'm not talking about no little sleep. I'm talking about snoring, deep sleep. You're going to have an act of Congress and a couple bombs to wake me up. Why? Because I've worked hard from 5 a.m. to 2 a.m. And so when I sleep, I rest. Something happened to me about 32, 33 years. I can't sleep past 7. I roll out of bed. I wake up wide-eyed, and as my dad used to say, bushy-tailed. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to go. Lay my head down at 2 a.m. and 5:30 a.m. Boom, my eyes are open and I can't go back to sleep. Why? Because I've learned something that if I'll get up and I'll work when nobody else is working, if I'll get up and do what nobody else is willing to do, there is a promise from God. Thank you, Brother Eric. I appreciate it. I got one witness in the house today that understands I'm not working like everybody else is working. I'm not trying to be like everybody else. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm trying to keep up with Jesus. And if he called me to work, I'm going to get up and work. Turn to your neighbor and tell him work. Rest comes after work. Laziness is when we rest before work. Work in the Hebrew here comes from a word, Malachi. In the Hebrew, it means employment. God was employed. God was his own boss. God labored. Malacca means to labor. It means business. It means occupation. It means industrious. But I love the last one. It means ministry. We have to be busy. We have to be working. Not busy on its own, but we've got to put our hand to the plow. Every day of your life, You ought to be working a job and working your ministry. You say, well, I'm retired and I'm 70 years old. God bless you. Thank you for all of your years of service and work in our community. But you better find something for your hands to do. You better pick up gardening. You better pick up, I don't know, you better go back to school. You better find yourself something to do. One of the greatest men I ever knew attended this church for many years with my Uncle Jack, Bishop's brother-in-law. He was a worker now. He worked until almost the day he died in his 80s. He drove a gas truck. I'm talking about unleaded or diesel gas. It always worried me that an 80-year-old man was driving a gas truck, but I was glad he was working. I'd be at his house hanging out with my cousins. It'd be the night after Thanksgiving, 3 a.m. We're up playing dominoes. We're up playing Monopoly. We're up playing cards. We're doing something. And here my uncle would get up at 3:30 in the morning, go and get his little cup of coffee, and he's headed out to work. He lived a long, full life, and he worked almost every day. And you say, no, that's terrible. I'm here to tell you that work brings longevity to your life. You work hard enough and God says you are so much better off down there than you are in heaven right now. If you're going to work like that, I'll leave you down there till you're 100. You've got to work yourself into a position where people depend on you so much that you can't be fired. That when you say I'm leaving, they say here's another $25,000. That when you say, I've got to go, I'm going to retire. If you stay, we're going to bump up your pay. We're going to give you a 10% increase. We're going to give you a 15%. Why? Because I've learned the value of work, and I've worked myself in such a way that nobody else works like me. Nobody else puts their hand to the plow like me. Nobody else tills up the ground like me. And when God finds somebody to work the ground, God is going to take care of you, because there's not a whole lot of people in or out of the church that know the value of laboring. And when God worked, he worked himself in such a way that God himself had to rest. 6 days of work and God rested. Work equals ministry. Ministry equals work. You might work 50 hours for Chase. You might work 60 hours a week for USAA. You might be the manager down at the HEB. God bless you. Those are great things. Keep working hard. I believe God's going to do some great things through that. But you've got to find a place spiritually to work and serve. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, one translation says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your heart, all of your might, NIV says, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. When you punch in this week at your job, realize it is God who gave you the intellect, who gave you the mobility, who gave you the strength to work. It is God who opened that door of promotion. It is God who got you that job. And so when you show up to your job to work, remember you are a representative, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Don't be like the knuckleheads you work with. Don't be like all the also-rans. Step up and say, I'll be the David, I'll be the Paul, I'll be the Esther for this company. And God, you're going to bless this company because I'm here. And I promise you, if he starts blessing it because you're there, all of your bosses are going to notice. Work equals ministry. Ministry equals work. Work here also, I love this, means to dispatch as a messenger. To dispatch as an angel, meaning this, that while you work, and God says, while you're busy working, I'm dispatching angels. While you're busy, can I talk to the praise team that's here every Tuesday night? While you're here up here rehearsing, while you're here spending hours every Tuesday to the band, while you're up here perfecting your craft and rehearsing and taking it to the next level, God says, while you're here on Tuesday, I'm just going to dispatch some angels and some messengers to work for you, to work on your behalf. Can I talk to the ushers for a little bit? Every time you show up early on a Sunday or a Wednesday, every time that you have to step out and take care of something while we're having high church in here, God says, because you've worked and you've ministered in my house, let me send angels to your house. Well, let me talk to the greeters, to those running TV cameras, to the sound booth, to the nursery and beyond. While you were taking care of kids, while you were calibrating the electronics, while you were making sure the sound levels were equalized, God said, as you push that button, I'm pushing my button and I'm sending messengers
and angels. You say, is it worth it to serve and work in ministry? Oh, it's worth it, baby, because while you're working here, God is producing there. While you serve here, God is serving there.
For those of you that have worked here at Living Way and served as one of our team members, you served as one of the lead, the directors, the assistant directors, know this, that you are under attack because God has elevated you, because you are one of the first partakers and you are a leader. But understand this, that if the devil is out to get you because of what God has done in you, it is not your responsibility to fight that attack. It is God's responsibility to fight that attack. That's why we can say things like, I can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Standing still doesn't mean that I'm not working. It just means that I don't have to fight. While I'm worshiping, God's fighting. While I'm praising, God's fighting. While I'm praying, God's warfaring. Why? Because while I'm working my ministry or working my job, God said, you're too busy to come off the wall and to fight and to argue and to complain. You keep working and doing what you're doing, and I'll fight your battle.
And it's an awesome thing to know that while you're serving, God's fighting. I can't come off the wall. I'm too busy. I'm too busy building kingdom. I'm too busy building a future, working for my family, working for my marriage, working for my ministry. I cannot stop. And God says, don't stop. Keep working. You are working towards your rest. But until you get to the rest, you can rest in the fact while you're working that I will fight.
Somebody say work. Give me a few more moments here. Dispatching of messengers or angels. Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. And every plant of the field. Let's go through Genesis 2 real quick. Every plant of the field which was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till or to work the ground. God could not cause it to rain because there was no workers. The moment you start working is the moment heaven opens up. The moment your hand finds something to do is the moment heaven opens up. Could it be that you've been complaining about the heavens being brass and the heavens being closed and that God's heart is hardened? I'm here to encourage you that the moment you step out and say, forget everything else, give me a plow, Jesus, find me someplace to till. And when I begin to work, it's an amazing thing that the longer I work, the more the windows of heaven open. The longer I plow, the more the favor of God shows up in my life. Elisha was plowing when Elijah threw the mantle on him. Mantles don't fall until we work. That was a good place to say amen. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Here God now reaches. It's not just voice activated. He is reaching. He is working the ground. He is literally tilling the ground with his fingers, collecting the dust and the dirt to form man, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. It's what we call paradise. And there he put the man whom he had formed. If God works, and he's the God of all creation, and he works, what makes us think that we don't have to work? What makes us think that we can just come to church and get all the blessings of God dumped in our lap and we have no responsibility to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure the windows of heaven are open? Listen to this. God placed Adam in a place called Eden and paradise. And even in paradise, Adam still had to work. See, some of us are saying, man, I wish I'd win the lottery and I wouldn't have to work anymore. God says, that's the reason I'm not giving you the lottery. Because you'd get fat and sassy in a place called paradise. God knows what we would do with what we ask for. And so many times he doesn't give us what we ask for because it would make us lazy and it would make us rest more than work. And so God says, you can pray that all you want, but I know your heart, which is deceitfully wicked. Who can I know it? And I know what that would do to you. So change your prayer. God, if I win the lottery, I'm on tithe. All right, God, you got God's attention now. I'm not telling you to play the lottery, but if you should win, God, I'd send $1 million to St. Jude. God, I'd pay off my mama's bills. God, I'd buy the church brand new buses to bus in people from all over the city so that we can fill Living Way up and give them Jesus Christ and give them hope and faith and love. Now you've got God's attention. But listen, you can't say something and your heart not be directed toward the same thing, because God doesn't listen to empty words. He goes right to the source, the heart. And some of us are saying, God, give me, give me, give me. And God's saying, work, work, work. God's saying, why would I give you something that you can work for? Listen to this. God creates the world. God creates Adam. God says, I can't reign because there's no one to work. So if I can't reign, listen to this. This is awesome. If I can't reign because there's nobody to work, let me just create somebody to work. God's awesome. God said, I want to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they cannot contain. I want to meet every need of every believer and follower of Jesus Christ. And he said, I cannot open those windows of heaven until I have somebody to work. He looked around. He said, the only one that's working is me. Let me create somebody. He creates Adam, breathes into him, creates him with his hands out of the dust, puts him in the garden, and says, now work. Hold on, God. I'm in paradise. I don't have to work. No, 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 you've got it twisted. You're in paradise, meaning everything you need is available to you. Paradise means everything that is a need of yours is available. Now, availability and you taking ownership of those things are two completely and entirely different things. Even Adam in paradise had to work. When Adam sinned, the curse wasn't that he had to work. He was already working. When Adam sinned and they were evicted out of paradise, it wasn't that he had to start working. He had been working all along, but the conditions he had to work in were now working against him, which is where we are today. The reason most people don't have what they want to have or what God wants them to have is because the conditions are working against them and they will not work the conditions. You have to understand, it's not going to come easy. Anything worth having does not come easy. Anything worth having does not come with a snap of your fingers. Anything of value does not just show up at your front door. You are going to have to work that thing. God, give me a talent. I don't care if you give me 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent. But God, if you'll give me a mustard seed, God, I can produce something that can move mountains, God. If you'll just give me a little, I can produce a lot. And Adam knew, when you place me in paradise, I'm going to make paradise give me what you said it should give me. Verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree, to pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life. Also in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And this is something we glance over, but there's power right here. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became 4 heads, 4 rivers. The name of the first was Pison. Pison in the Greek means fat, means more than enough. It means excess. That which is compasseth about the land of Havilah, where there is gold. Come on, somebody. And the gold of that land is good. And there was Delium, and there was onyx stone. And the name of the second river was Gihon. It means gush. It means abundance. That is the same that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, which goes to Assyria, which means great success. And the fourth river is Euphrates, which means to break forth. When God sets Adam down in the middle of the garden, everything that he needs, the fatness, the success, the abundance, the gold, the onyx, whatever it is, he said, I'm causing it to break forth, but it will not break forth until you start doing what you were created to do, which is to work the ground, which is to work the environment, which is to work the atmosphere. Number one, I got 3 of these real quick. Number one, God prepared it. Work prepares the atmosphere. You work and do the possible, God will show up and do the impossible. You work your faith on a Sunday morning, God's going to show up on a Tuesday afternoon. You work your faith through prayer, through praise, through worship, through giving, through meditation, through the Word of God, and all of those things, God will show up and do the impossible. I'm encouraging somebody today, if you're working, work harder than you've ever worked before. If you're serving, serve deeper than you've ever served before. Do something you've never done to get something you've never had. Work prepares the atmosphere. God worked from the beginning of time to prepare everything we will ever have need of. Think about this. Everything that you and I have need of, God created. It's already in the midst. We're already in the middle of it. You say, Pastor, I can't see it. That's what faith is for. I work hard. Every day of my life, I'm working. Yesterday, all day long, out of town, working on things, making sure that I'm doing my part so that God can show up and do His part. I'm telling you, it's an unbeatable combination when you work hard and tithe hard. All the tithers say amen. When I work hard and I tithe hard, that's when I can rest and say, now, God, it's up to you. I've sweated this week. I've taken my first fruits. I've given them to you. I know that all around me, I can't see it, but I know it's there. I know that what I need on Monday is going to be there, but I'm going to work my faith, God. I've worked my 40 hours. I've tithed. I've done what I needed to do. And so when I step in, when I get ready to step in, somebody get ready to step in. When I get ready to step into my Tuesday, God, everything I need will be there. Why? Because I worked on Monday, because I served on Sunday, because I prayed on Monday. Come on, somebody. You've got to work. And the Lord God took the man, Genesis 2:15, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Number two, work will produce it. First, work prepares the environment. Second, in that environment, work produces whatever we need. We have everything that we need around us. All we have to do is work in faith to produce it. Dress in the Hebrew comes from the word abad. It means to work. It means to labor. It means to till, to serve, to worship. Isn't it amazing that this word called dress, that Adam, I created you and I put you in the Garden of Eden, in paradise, to dress it. This is your employer. This is your employment. This is where you're going to work. This is where you're going to labor. This is where you're going to sweat. This is where you're going to serve. This is where you're going to worship. See, when I talk about dressing, I talk about working in this world. It's not just the 40 hours a week. Work hard wherever God has given you a job. But worship. Not on Sundays when they sing your favorite song. Every day of your life, worship. Pastor Manny can tell you, most of the time, the last thing I say, if she's still awake when I get in bed, is not, I love you, beautiful. It's, God, you are such a good God. Thank you, Jesus, for another amazing day. And then I drift off in 8 seconds to sleep because I've worked hard. You've got to worship. It's a part of you producing through your work. Sometimes worship is work. Sometimes you don't feel like worshiping, just like you don't feel like going to that job, but you go anyway. Why? Because you are preparing to produce something. Worship is in an atmosphere that has been prepared. Worship will produce every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father above, whom there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He responded to worship back then. He responded to somebody that would work the atmosphere back then. And guess what? In 2018 September, God is still responding to somebody that will work the atmosphere. Pastor Becky, number three, work prepares it. Number two, work produces it. Number three, work protects it. Work, he said, I placed Adam to dress and to keep. Keep in the Hebrew comes from the word shamar. It means to hedge. It means to protect. It means to guard. It means, ironically enough, to attend. Attend meaning to tend to. I'd never made this correlation until I was studying this Greek and Hebrew of this word keep and protect and how it all worked together, and I've never made that jump from a 10 meaning to 10-2. When we talk about church attendance, we're not talking about filling a building. We're talking about bringing you into a place so you can tend to what God has blessed you with. See, when I come into church on a Sunday, it's not just thanking God for where he's taking me. It's not just, God, I thank you for where I'm standing today. It's, God, everything I've worked for, everything you've blessed me with, everything you've placed in my hands and in my spirit and in my family, I am here not to fill a building. I am here to attend and to tend to and to protect everything that you've placed in my life. I don't want to be reaching for something in my future just to have the adversary come in behind me and take what I have. God not only wants to give you a new thing, God wants you to be able to keep hold of everything that God has given you before in your life. It is not God's plan to have to give you the same thing 2, 3, and 4 times. It is God's plan that as you reach for something in front of you, that he shores up the things behind you. And while I am working, I am building a hedge. While I am working, I am protecting my investment. While I work,
stand on your feet.
When you look at keep, shamar, the last thing threw me for a loop. It means to look narrowingly. That phrase to the casual Christian doesn't mean much. But for those of us that were raised in church, that phrase is used in Isaiah chapter 14. It says that we will look at the devil when we see him for the first time. And the Bible says we'll look at him narrowingly. And we'll say, Sister Gloria, is this the one? This is the one that almost caused my divorce. This is the one that was always in my ear. Man, I wish I'd known he looked like this. I would have taken that from him. The revelation is this, that while I'm working, while I'm keeping what God has given me, the devil shows up. But to keep, to shamar, means I look at the devil for what he really is. Not who the world makes him out to be. Not who preachers. He's not a big bad wolf. He is a defeated foe. He's not a lion. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We worship the lion from the tribe of Judah whose roar is real. You're out there working. The devil comes up and says, God's not going to meet your needs. God doesn't care about you. But for those of us that are working, we say, I don't have time to talk to you, fool. I know you. I see beyond the veil. This is not Wizard of Oz. You don't have anybody fooled. And I see you for what you are. You're a defeated adversary that would love to keep me from working, serving. You love to keep me. You love for me to lose my job. You love for me to just rest all the time and not work. But I made up my mind, as long as I live, I'll be productive. I'll find a place to serve. I'll find a place to work. I'll find a place to do something great. And today we've been talking, and tomorrow's Labor Day. Today we've been talking about working and a little bit talking about our job and how we should be the best representative and the best employee wherever God has placed us. But more so, we need to work our faith. We've got far too many people sitting on pews. And it's a shame that you come to a church like this and you still don't have everything that God has called you to have. It's a shame that you're still fighting the same battles you were when you first came here 8 years ago. That's not God's plan. We love you, and God loves you too much to leave you like that. We want you to grab hold of the things of God and say, God, no matter what, I'm pushing. No matter what, I'm going. I'm moving forward to the things God has for me. If you're ready to work like you've never worked before in kingdom or on this earth, I need you to step out of your seat. I need you to join me right now. Your faith. Talking about working your faith. Here they come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's amazing to me while they come. It's amazing to me how many good things have shown up while I was working. Adam's dressing the garden. Adam's keeping the garden. Adam's naming all of the animals. The Bible says as he looked at all the animals and named all of them, he didn't find his helpmeet. Didn't find somebody that he could live with. So God put Adam to sleep. Adam wakes up and Eve's standing there. While you work and you enter into rest, on the other side of work and rest is your promise. Adam worked hard. Adam rested hard. And when he woke up, the thing that he needed was standing in front of him. I want to prophetically declare to those in this altar and to those of you in your seat, maybe you haven't come forward yet, maybe you're going to receive right where you're standing. When you work hard and you rest hard in that order, you're going to wake up.